One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. And every week I talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature. How to improve our relationships, our finances, our career, and our health, both mental, physical, and spiritual. Today we have a very important podcast for you that I believe will help you relieve some of the tensions and anxieties that we're all suffering in this world crisis of the virus. Right now we have two opposing forces. One is love, being with family, having joy, passion, happiness. And the other is fear, the fear of disease and possibly even death. And of course, we're now in springtime as well. So springtime is often a time of love and rejuvenation. And we also are living in this world where people are isolated and withdrawn. So we're going to talk today about something called psychological utopia, how to live with peace, love, and power in difficult or catastrophic times. Now, the term psychological utopia refers to an inner world in which you're peaceful, happy, content. The term utopia comes from ancient times. Plato talked about this lost city of Atlantis, a perfect world. A utopia is typically seen as a world where there's harmony, peace, love, and goodness, where people are equals, and they're optimistic and happy. Now, of course, not every world is perfect, but it can have perfectibility, which means it can become better, it can grow. On the other side of the coin, we have what's called dystopia, which we see in science fiction novels of a horrible, frightening future, where people have lost hope, where they have loss of life, liberty, happiness, where they live in fear due to some natural catastrophe or man-made catastrophe. Yet there's also psychological dystopia, the inner part of your mind that feels fear and pain, loneliness, anguish, and doubt. So our goal in Love University and today and in the future is to help you move towards psychological utopia, toward having that inner state of peace and calm, where you can accomplish all of your dreams and also help people accomplish theirs and bring love and happiness to everyone. Now, some people might think this is kind of a Pollyanna or idealistic notion to have this ideal life, you know, whether it's internal or external. But in reality, we have a lot of power over our minds. Psychology shows us that we can actually change our brains. There's something called brain plasticity, where we can actually grow our brain over time, our neurons, and we can change and adapt in different ways. So there's a lot of positivity that we can generate within ourselves, and that can generate outward positivity. Now, before we get into psychological utopia, this ideal sense of inner peace and calm and confidence despite the circumstances. And that's the key, because many times adversity will come into your life, no matter who you are or what you're doing. There could be loss of relationship, loss of health, even loss of life, loss of economics. Yet you can still maintain this positive outlook and what I call invincibility in my book, Invincible You. You can have a psychological immunity to problems because you have a strong inner core within yourself of faith, belief, hope, and love. But before we get into that, let's look at the psychological dystopia, the negative sides of our minds that harm us, and also what happens when you're in a traumatic situation. Now, I'm a forensic psychologist, so I work a lot with trauma victims. And we see that there are biological changes in your brain when you suffer from trauma. For example, you have a smaller hippocampus, the part of your brain that deals with memory. So you may feel dissociated. You have fragments of memory and not the full thing. You have more activity in what's called the amygdala, which is the part of the brain that deals with stress and fear. And you have lower functioning in your prefrontal cortex, which deals with judgment and thinking. So you're less able to make intelligent decisions or to plan. And we see that today, a lot of people are frozen, kind of paralyzed, and they don't really know what to do. Also, there's emotional turmoil right now in the world, and also physical. For example, depression, anxiety. Now, Reggie, my producer, you've also suffered this as well. I know you've lost several jobs as a result of this. What have been your feelings recently?
Well, strangely enough, I've been feeling optimistic, you know?
Really? Now, yeah. How's that possible, Reggie? Now,
I don't know. That's a very good question. I've been searching for other jobs, you know, and plus I'm getting to come into work today.
Okay. So you're taking the positive from the negative, right? You're transforming it.
Right.
And that's one of the keys. But a lot of people don't have that same internal luxury. And mentally, they do suffer from loneliness, from despair, from anxiety. And of course, we know that loneliness is a tremendous illness in our society. And our goal at Love University is to help eradicate loneliness by the year 2025, because loneliness can actually take 15 years away from your life. It can shorten your lifespan. The same risk as if you're obese or smoke 15 cigarettes a day. So this is what we're going to talk about today. Now, of course, it is important to take care of your medical health right now. Follow the advice of the medical experts. Social distancing, washing your hands and face, staying home, wearing a mask. But the key is, a lot of times people don't talk about the psychological aspects, how people are suffering internally from being isolated, from staying at home, not being able to be with loved ones, go out and do the things they love to do. So let's talk a little bit about that. How do we create the psychological utopia? What I call immunity from negativity and adverse circumstances, whether it's, again, loss of economic issues, loss of relationships, problems with health, or even problems with your own meaning in life. The first thing we need to realize is that we can live in the state of psychological immunity, confidence and peace and love despite the circumstances. It's kind of like having a vaccine. Now, hopefully we can find a vaccine for this illness that we have now. But you could also think about having a psychological vaccine for your own inner worries and anxieties and regrets and disappointments. This is what we're going to talk about today. First of all, we need to recognize the paradox of adversity. Adversity is when we have a challenge, an obstacle. We lose our job. We have economic problems. We lose a relationship. We're conflicted about a lifestyle choice, about a spiritual practice. People don't treat us the way we want to be treated. Life can be unfair. So what do we do in that circumstance? We can either give up, we can get frustrated, we can get angry, or we can say, I want to learn the lesson in this. What is the meaning behind this? And oftentimes people that have a meaning recover more quickly from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other psychological problems related to stress and trauma. One of the things that we learn, I believe, from this is a value of love within your family and close ones. You know how we take for granted many times hugging and kissing our loved ones? And now we can't do that as much. Now we can't go out with them and spend as much time with them as we used to in different ways. So we start to appreciate what we used to take for granted. And this can be very important. Once this settles down and people get back to life, you're going to realize, hey, this is what really is important. You know, expressing love to your loved ones, spending time with them, doing the things that you love to do. The other thing is that's important to think about psychologically is what in Eastern philosophy we call beware of the second arrow. The first arrow of life is something that happens to you that brings you pain. For example, a friend stops calling you and now you feel bad. You know, they've been a good friend. Why do they not call me anymore? But then the second arrow is your interpretation of that event, which is they don't care about me, or maybe I'm not really that lovable. You know, people don't respond to me that well. And now you have even more pain because of your added perception, which is what we call the second arrow. Now, the good news is that the second arrow is something you can control. You don't have to let your perceptions or negativity of the event cause you more pain. You can say, well, perhaps we're not compatible anymore. Maybe they moved on. Maybe there's another reason for not being together. But perhaps I can find someone who is more resonating with my style, who's more harmonious, who's more connected with me in the future. So you feel more optimistic about that because you have transformed that thought. In psychology, we call that cognitive behavioral psychology, changing your thought process to change your feelings and your behavior. And those negative voices, I call them self-defeating thoughts or thought demons, critical inner voices that you're not worthy enough, you're not good enough, cause you anger, regret, and fear. But they're also what we call self-enhancing thoughts. I call them invincible thoughts, that you are worthy enough, lovable, you're talented, you have wonderful things inside you. So those are the thoughts we need to nurture and grow and move away from that second arrow. Something else that I recommend people in these times of turmoil to develop, this psychological utopia, is to follow your hara. Now, in the Eastern philosophy, in martial arts, the hara is a point 2 inches below your navel. That is your center of power and intuition, also known as your gut. So following your gut instinct is very important in these times. It's telling you to stay with a relationship or not, or follow this career path or not follow it, to make a change in your life, in your health, in your lifestyle. And the good thing about the hara, or this intuitive instinct that we have, if you listen to it and follow it, is that it is very calm, it's measured, it's logical. Now contrast this with the voice of fear, which is anxiety provoking, it's strenuous, it's anxious. You can even hear the hysteria in that mental voice. So realize that that is not you. Those irrational thoughts or self-defeating thoughts or feelings is simply going through you at the moment, passing through you. But you are different. You're in the hara, you're in your invincible thoughts. The other thing that's important to do in these times of turmoil is to express your don. Now your don is your inner talent that you have. Don comes from the Spanish word don divino, which means gift from God. So all of us have a special talent that we've been given from our higher nature. It could be writing, teaching, science, business, mathematics, maybe working with your hands, craftspeople, or even caretaking, being a great parent, a great friend, a humanitarian. Whatever it is, practice this don in any way you can right now in these times, whether it's through online ways, internet, do things that you love to do to help people and practice that don, because you'll feel much better. You feel that you are realizing your potential. You're finding meaning in life and also helping others. Another important thing we can do in these times that are challenging are what I call celebrate your many successes. Now, many times we set a goal for ourselves and we feel frustrated. I want to find my soulmate in the year. I want to make X million dollars or have this amazing business. But we don't achieve our goal in the timeline that we set. We feel frustrated, disappointed, and upset. So the key is to celebrate small steps toward the goals, what I call many successes. So if you want to find your soulmate, maybe you join a dating application today. If you want to do a business plan, start with a small part of the business plan. Write an email or letter to a mentor, someone you want to work with or learn from. And that could be just a little step that you take, but you start to feel good. It builds momentum. Celebrate those. Maybe tell a friend. Give yourself your favorite hot coffee drink. Or listen to your favorite music. Or watch your favorite show. Do something that is rewarding to you that will reinforce that little step that you took toward your bigger aim. Another important aspect of dealing with psychological utopia, developing it, is what I call practical optimism. Now, the optimist is someone who expects the best in life. They look at the negative turning into a positive. And these people are often happy and content because they expect things to work out in their favor. Then we, on the other hand, we have the pessimists, people that are very realistic and they can see the worst kind of happening. They can see this unfortunate virus killing a lot of people and threatening the world. And then we have middle ground, what I call practical optimism, where they can recognize the dangers of the current virus situation and take precautions. But they're also optimistic. They know that we can overcome this. We can learn from it, grow from it, become better people, human beings, help the world. So the practical optimist is in the middle ground, but they can, oftentimes can see both sides and they can get out of bad situations. The optimist people often have better physical and mental health. They also deal better in relationships and do better at work. Now, one interesting way to do this nowadays to have more optimism is to create notifications that notify you whenever you have your favorite hobby or interest. For example, through Pinterest or YouTube, people that you like to listen to their music, or maybe there's a recipe you like, or a celebrity you're interested in, or something that you really like, coin collecting, dog collecting. So that will, in a sense, give you positivity feedback every day. Now, many times people get caught up in negative news, the negative news cycle, this is gonna happen, the catastrophe, and it's gonna get worse. Or you can start to notify yourself. Of course, you can still, you know, be ahead of the news, but notify yourself of positive things. You can create a positivity loop as well, and this will make you feel a lot better. Gratefulness is very important. Now, gratefulness, a lot of research has been done on this in positive psychology, is if you're grateful, and the idea is think of the good that comes to you comes from something outside of you. For example, a higher power, God or spirit, perhaps a friend or family member, maybe even a stranger that helps you on the side of the road. Gratefulness is a tremendous psychological advantage. If you keep a gratitude journal, write down three things you're grateful for every day for 2 weeks, you'll have 30% less depression and 40% better sleep on the average, which is an amazing statistic. So when you're grateful, you release a lot of tension. You show appreciation for others without expectation, and you uplift your mood. And the good thing about it is that you create a cycle of gratitude. Other people receive your gratefulness, and then they give gratefulness to other people. One way to do this is to write a gratefulness email or letter in which you thank someone for something good they did for you. And again, you feel good about it, they will feel good and probably pass it along. Also, couples who are grateful are more likely to have marital satisfaction and even a better sex life. When they write things that they're grateful for, keep a couple gratitude journal, they actually can improve their relationship. And also with children at night, you tell them, think of the things you're grateful for today. And you can also start to build gratefulness in them. And this eventually creates a tremendous positive loop of gratefulness. People who are grateful actually have more patience, more perseverance, and have less anxiety. They produce 23% less cortisol, the stress hormone that we've talked about before. Another thing that's very important, this is something that people don't realize, in times of tragedy, laughter can be healing. In World War II, during the bombing of England, those people who had a good sense of humor had less PTSD. So Reggie, let's try this right now. I want you guys to try this at home. I want you to start laughing, really for no reason, but just to laugh. Reggie, you look funny with that little green thing you got on your shoulder. What is that?
It's Godzilla.
Godzilla. Okay. It's turning green. Maybe the whole world is turning green. Well, yeah, I'm feeling better or worse. I don't know which it is, but, you know, it's fun. So I could recommend this to you. You know, start laughing for no reason with your friends. You know, jump up and down. Act silly. You know, do whatever you need to do to kind of loosen your mood. Get into a lighter frame of mind. The other thing that's important in terms of psychological utopia is to develop a sense of compassion, or what I call loving energy without expectation. Compassion is the desire to relieve the suffering of others. It also includes empathy, the ability to put yourself in others' shoes. One great exercise is to imagine that you have a colored light that's shining right now with a certain emotion, which is compassion, and there's a colored light. Reggie, what is that light for you right now? What do you think of?
For some reason, I'm feeling red.
Red, you don't have any compassion, do you, Reggie? You got something else, but that's a different topic, right? Passion. Okay, well, compassion, it could be white, it could be yellow. So imagine that you're shining this light to yourself. Close your eyes right now, take a deep breath. Shine this light to yourself as it you give love to yourself, you know, giving yourself that compassion. Now shine it out to other people that are close to you, your husband or wife, your children, family members, close family and acquaintances, friends. Then shine it even further to business people that you work with, colleagues, associates, clients. Those people that provide you service, and those people that bring you food. Now, we should be very grateful for those individuals. They're risking their health as well to help us. So let's give them that compassion, that love. And then finally, to the whole world, as we spread this loving energy to everyone that we don't even know or will ever know. But it's a tremendous way to uplift yourself, to give other people this loving energy as you give it to yourself. And remember always, self-compassion is crucial. Now, there are people that can be self-compassionate, or actually compassionate to others, but they're not compassionate to themselves. They're perfectionistic. They feel regret for their so-called mistakes. They attack themselves and they feel bad about it. And then they keep repeating the same mistakes because they feel weakened from feeling regretful about it. So the key is to reverse that and say, you know, I'm going to take care of myself, whether it's through exercise, diet, spiritual practice, adequate sleep, spending time with friends and things I love. I will also forgive myself for mistakes, and I will move forward and learn from the lessons, and I won't regret. And that can be a tremendous healing force when you're able to do that for yourself. And another exercise that actually is self-compassionate is physical relaxation. Many times we have a lot of stress built up in our body. So I want you to try this at home. Extend your arms like this. And Reggie, you try this too. Okay. Straight out and clench your fist as you inhale. Hold your breath. And then exhale. As you exhale, let your body totally release. Okay. Let's try it. This is called tighten and release. Inhale. Exhale. Okay. Ready? I thought you were going to keel over and die there for a second, but you're okay. Okay. So this is a good exercise. Do this 10 or 15 times a day, and you'll find your muscles start to relax, and you start to breathe a little better, and you start to feel a lot better or lighter in your body. Now, many times we need to do things at home now, so calisthenics and these kind of exercises, yoga practitioners can be very helpful to release that tension that we have, that anxiety. Something else that's very important also is to develop patience. Now, I read about this in my book, Invincible You. The idea that patience is a tremendous skill for psychological invincibility. But many times we aren't patient. Even before this whole virus and this issue started, people would be running around with their technology, you know, with their cell phones and texting and emailing and calling. Of course, a lot of this is very useful and convenient, but many times we get so caught up in it, we lose track of our own relaxation. We would need to answer this email or text immediately. We feel pressured. So we're always rushing around trying to do more. So now a lot of people are having to slow down. They can't do things they used to do. They have to wait in longer lines. So my advice is to take this as a positive experiment in developing patience. When you're waiting in a longer line, say to yourself, I'm going to develop awareness of the moment. I'm going to be aware of my body, my emotions, you know, what I'm thinking. Maybe part of me wants to get out of here quickly, or part of me is afraid of the germs. But the other part can say, wait a minute, I'm going to be aware of this fully so I can experience it and develop patience. I'm also going to look around and look at other people and kind of try to see what they're feeling. Developing empathy. Maybe they're going through a hard time. Maybe they're fighting with their spouse at home. Their children, they're worried about finances. So I can feel compassion for them and empathy as I look at their faces. They're drained and stressed. And also I can see people that are impatient. They still want to get out of there quickly. And I can see how their faces are suffering from impatience. And I can say, I feel compassion for them, but I don't want to be like that. I want to be like the person who is calm and relaxed, no matter what is happening in the world, because that is true strength. And then we need to practice what I call virtual closeness. Now we know that we need to be physically distant from each other to quell the virus. But at the same time, we don't want to be isolated mentally and emotionally, because we know loneliness is a killer in many ways. It increases heart disease, it hurts your immune system, and eventually can cause you to have an earlier death. So we want to be close to people, but we can do it in a virtual sense through internet and other technologies. So we can have virtual hangouts, virtual happy hours, work out with a friend virtually through some kind of video chatting. We can also get in touch with our long-lost relatives and cousins. We can do a little search for our family tree, perhaps. And we can reconnect with people. We can share ideas, recipes, other things with other people online, books, movies, and videos. And kind of like still maintain that emotional connection with people. Make friends even while we don't have the opportunity to meet with them in person physically. And finally, the combination of all this, compassion, empathy, and intimacy, is what I call extend loving energy without expectation. This is one of the greatest secrets of all. We talk a lot about this at Love University, is to love other people without expecting anything back. Because many times people have expectations. They want the other person to like you, to approve of you, and you feel disappointed and frustrated and even rejected at times. But in this new way that we're going to live, we're going to give love to others, whether it's a smile, a hello, listening to people with attentiveness. Perhaps you can volunteer for a hotline, maybe a depression or suicide hotline. You can make gift cards for people, poems, music, help them in some way, even financially. Whatever method you use to help other people, to give love to others, you do it without expectation that they will respond or anything else. And that strengthens you because it shows that you have love inside. You have an abundant amount of resources to help people without expecting anything back. There's a new trend that happened before this virus situation called caremongering. Caremongering is when you volunteer to do errands and chores for people that can't do it for themselves. So this is the kind of spirit of humanitarianism that we can spread even right now throughout the world. And the conclusion I have from all this, what's happening now, aside from the health risks and the problems that we have medicine-wise, is the emotional scenario. The physical is causing emotional issues, and emotional issues causing physical issues. And the idea that loneliness is the thing we want to eradicate here at Love University. Our goal is by the year 2025. And I think we can even accelerate that now that we see the world has united as one. They united in their pain and suffering, but they also can unite in their cure, in their suffering to be eliminated, in their healing and their happiness. after this crisis ends, I believe that we're going to be a more closer world. We're going to be more united in many ways. Because we realize that all of us are one in many ways. We all love our families. We're afraid of certain things like illness and death. But we also have faith, hope, and optimism. We want to experience love, joy, and pleasure. Also, I believe we'll become more of an internal world. Now, introvert people have lived like this for a long time, where they stay home a lot, they get food ordered in. Extroverts, not as much, so it's harder for them in some ways. But there's nothing wrong with developing your internal side, you know, going within yourself, your thoughts, your feelings, and finding a meaning in your existence, something that's far beyond just an everyday life. What is your purpose for being here on Earth? To share your donor with other people, your talents, your abilities, to help other people, to love other people. And it all boils down to our motto at Love University is to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. Whatever you do, think of those three things. If you love yourself, you'll take care of yourself. You won't be a martyr where you know, are codependent, where you give up everything to others. But you will be able to love and take care of yourself, not in an egotistical way, but in a self-enhancing way. And then with that, you can give more love to others. You can take care of other people and contribute more. And finally, the higher nature, which could be whatever spiritual belief you have, or higher belief, physical belief, philosophical belief. And that higher nature is what gives you that sense of meaning and purpose for being here on Earth. So Love University students, and even those that have never heard the show before, and you think, what is this? This is psychology, it's philosophy, it's spirituality, it's maybe a little bit of all of that. But it's really very practical. It's a practical way to live. And with love is not just a romantic, sentimental idea, but it's actually a powerful force. It's an internal strength that you can develop and give to others in many different ways. If you'd like to be a guest on Love University or have a show idea, contact us at loveuniversity.love, loveuniversitylove@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Like us on Twitter and Instagram at @LoveUPodcast. Also, we would love to have you subscribe to our channel and listen to us every week, Wednesday at noon. We're on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Call us at 310-226-8090 if you'd like to be on our show as a guest. We also have Love Type Compatibility, where we can help you find your soulmate if you're interested in love and relationships, even at a distance for now, based on my book, Love Types, a bestseller that talked about Myers-Briggs compatibility types. So in any sense, the key is to share that loving energy with other people and also love yourself and higher nature. So Love University students, put away your notebooks, your notepads, your iBooks, your iPads, and pencils and pens and anything else you have except your mind and your heart. Until next time, this is Dr. Alex Avila, Love University.